after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. First Advantage text line, if you guys want to get at us today, it's 970-478-1301. Text KFKA to that number, and we'll get you rocking and rolling. Good, the bad, the ugly. We'll get to that in a moment, but what's your good, the bad, the ugly from the sports weekend that was? Some of you might expand that and go back to Thursday. I'm hearing everybody, you know, the national guys too, saying this was a pretty rough draft for the Broncos as far as that first round goes. Because they didn't go with Justin Fields at quarterback. Then I'm watching Good Morning Football this morning, which I love that show on NFL Network, by the way. You got to get up early to watch it, but I'm an early riser. Katie was saying, I think the Broncos landed. The guy that they should have got was Patrick Surtain and landed him. And then the other debate was, is Justin Fields even going to start for Chicago this year? Colfax, I like to read between the lines. We heard Vic Fangio 2 weeks ago saying, you know, there's a lot of great players in this draft, and I just think for me, it's, you know, finding a guy that's going to come in and immediately make an impact. Well, a lot of times quarterbacks don't do that, whether it's the first full season or the first five games. Again, the guys on Good Morning Football, they watch a hell of a lot of football, and they all four said this morning, the Broncos have a great roster. They have an extremely talented roster. They never talk about the Broncos, but they were talking about them this morning. So Google it. Look it up on Twitter. They said it. It's the truth. The Broncos have a really good roster, but the quarterback is a concern. Can you win with a really good roster, but a quarterback issue? You know, is Teddy Bridgewater average? I think we would all agree that if it's Teddy Bridgewater leading this team, the Broncos are a better team than last year. If Drew Locke can beat him out in a competition, straight up evaluation, then he's going to have earned that, which means, okay, Drew must have got a little bit better. Maybe the offseason stuff is... Let's all keep this in mind, and I think we tend to forget this with Drew Locke, is his first real year in the NFL was the COVID year. How many times, Colfax, did we say, hey, coaches shouldn't be held to, you know, don't make hiring and firing decisions based on what you saw in the COVID years for the NBA in the bubble, you know, for a lot of these teams, for baseball in the 2 month stretch that we saw, you can't make decisions based on that. Does that not work for young quarterbacks? Drew Locke had played in four games before, and then the COVID year, he didn't have any of the offseason stuff, which he is in the offseason. He has shown up for all the OTA stuff. So is that somewhat of a thing you can look at? Listen, I'm with you guys as far as saying if I'm predicting or making a bet here, I don't think Drew Locke is going to be the franchise quarterback. I just don't get the feeling that he is. But I also, it's weird to say it, but I feel like I'm talking out two sides of my mouth. I also don't feel like he's not, because we don't know enough. Now, there are, I tweeted this several times throughout the season. It's an obvious, it's the Hall of Fame question for me. Is he going to be your franchise quarterback? What's your gut say, yes or no? And I always say no. But we still only have one COVID season of Drew Locke. Hell, man. He got suspended for one game because he didn't wear a mask properly with four people inside, when we see coaches slobber all over referees with no masks. You don't think that threw off his funk a little bit? He's in there trying to get better. He's in there on his own time. This was not a predetermined quarterback get-together. He designed it to go in and get better and was slapped on the wrist pretty heavily for it, and misses a game because of it. All the quarterbacks missed a game because of it. I tend to think mentally that could mess you up for a little bit. His mom came to his defense. You remember that? And then everyone was giving him crap for that. I just think that there's a lot of, from this draft aftermath, a lot of negative blowback. How do you think John Elway feels today, though, Colfax? He gets to sit back and he's like, see what I mean, George? This place sucks. You can't draft anybody without getting your handed to you. I tried to draft a quarterback in the first round a few years back, and it didn't work out. And I was blamed for it. Paxton Lynch, anybody? He drafts Paxton Lynch, and a lot of Broncos country's excited about it. Then he fails, and it's a John Elway mistake. So as much as I like to say, well, if you'd go with the safe pick and just take Justin Fields at 9, nobody's going to disagree with you, and if it flops, it flops. No, if it flops, it ultimately comes down to you. It will come back down to you, and you will say, well, you should have evaluated better. Even though we all agreed, a lot of us agreed, that Justin Fields probably should have been the number 9 pick. But it's, you know, it's going to be George Payton on the line if it flops. So I liked the pick a lot. I think Patrick Surtain is going to be an amazing player for the Broncos. I mean, really, look at this draft class. You got Javonte Williams, the running back out of North Carolina. He was ranked by CBS Sports as the third best running back in this draft, and you got him. You got him in the second round, and you moved up to get him in the second round. You got a linebacker, Baron Browning, out of Ohio State. He wasn't in my top three, but according to CBS Sports, he was top 7. He was number 7 as far as best linebackers in this draft. You filled out some guards there with Quinn Miernez out of Wisconsin. Got a couple of safeties to keep it competitive because you don't know the future of Kareem Jackson. Let me ask you this. Does this feel like a win-now mode for the Broncos? Suddenly? I think it does. I think a lot of these moves that they made win-now moves, but not in a win-now fashion. And what I mean by that is George Payton wanted all these guys. He wanted to go get Teddy Bridgewater. He wanted to get better players on the defensive side, on the defensive backfield. He wanted to do all these things, but he said, you know what? We're not necessarily in that win-now mode this year, so I don't need to get too aggressive. Well, Kareem Jackson tries to go away, and nope. Market wasn't going to give him more than what the Broncos were going to do. Ronald Darby was out there. Kyle Fuller was out there. They all came at better prices later on, and then suddenly George Payton goes, okay, yeah, we will take those guys. We can make that happen now. And suddenly, it feels like this defense is pretty good. Now, they have Pat Surtain listed as the backup to Fuller on the depth chart, with Ronald Darby starting and then Bryce Callahan there. I got to think that's an open competition, and you're going to see Pat out there a lot more than you will. Who knows? I mean, that is, I love this. I love that you have 4 cornerbacks that could be ones and twos on any team, because Vic Fangio wants to utilize cornerbacks, folks. I had somebody comment, we did the poll question yesterday, was grade George Payton in the Denver Broncos draft. And I'm telling you, man, it was mainly D's and F's from the Hooligans. One of my Hooligans commented on Facebook and said, those of you guys that are voting F and D clearly don't understand football. And I'll take it a step further. You clearly don't understand what Vic Fangio is all about. He is going to create, they are going to create a defense that's memorable. I really believe that. They picked up Bradley Chubb's option. They love the fact that they're saying he's the guy they're going to build around, and I still like Bradley Chubb. I think he gets a knock because he was taken so early, and, you know, Quentin Nelson and Josh Allen have gone on to do some pretty amazing things. Chubb was hobbled by an injury his second year in the league. I'm very excited about this defense. And there's a little competition at that linebacker spot now. Baron Browning's going to come in, and you still have, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, Justin Sternad was a guy that they drafted in the 5th or 6th round last year, and we kind of talked highly about him. He gets hurt, and he's out for the season. So they got some competition coming in, which is really going to help in some positions like that linebacker spot, cornerback spot. They filled the needs. Question is, what's going to happen? We know Aaron Rodgers is out there hanging around. How did that story progress over the weekend? Power to Play Sports poll question. We're shifting gears here. I love this move. I don't know that they needed him. Warren Jackson didn't get drafted, Colfax. CSU star wide receiver didn't get drafted, but the Broncos signed him as a free agent. Poll question of the day is, were you shocked that CSU's Warren Jackson wasn't drafted. 77% say no, you weren't shocked. I thought at the very least he's going sixth, fifth, man. I mean, Michael Gallup went third. Is Michael Gallup that much better than Warren Jackson? Maybe so. Jackson's not going to get a lot of time coming to Denver. I mean, it's going to feel like more of an experiment because he's going to be the fifth option at wide receiver. So we're going to bring Kevin Lytle on to talk about that. First, Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Got a lot to break into today, man. It was a fun weekend. I loved Saturday's game. The Nuggets, the Clippers, Joker with 30. Yet there's an article in ESPN that said, thank God Steph Curry came back and saved the NBA season with all the superstars out. Curry came in and revived it at number 9. How about Nikola freaking Jokic?
Jokic behind the arc, shooting a career high from out there, and he swishes it through for the first points for Denver. And now Jokic trying to back down. Now facing up, they don't double him here. The shot clock at 7. Jokic just toying with everybody, lays it in. What a beautiful move by Jokic.
Joker was great, man. Broadcast was still pretty damn biased. It's like it hurts them to say that Joker's the MVP. Stop it. Let it happen, man. Pull a Roger Goodell. Give me a hug, brother. The bad. I guess it's bad. The Rockies got a win on Saturday, but they lose the series to the Diamondbacks. 4-game series, 3-1.
There goes Varsho. Pavin Smith. High fly ball. Right field. It's gone. D-backs answer back. It's 3-2. Down the line. Fair ball. It's in the corner. Here comes Van Meter. The freight train's on the run. Peralta coming in. Vogt headed for third. He's got the two-run triple. And Vogt comes up with a big one to make it 6-4.
There you go. Rockies back at it tonight against the Giants again. They play everybody in their division like 4,000 bazillion times. It's just kind of weird. The ugly for me is really, this is bad news for the NBA because LeBron James has spoken. He does not like surprise. Now that the Lakers are perhaps going to be in the playoff game, LeBron James comes out. First time we've heard it since the bubble, which he liked in the bubble, by the way. Whoever came up with that needs to be fired, James said. Why? Because you don't think you could win the play-in game against Golden State? Ooh, wouldn't that be something? Lakers are in sixth, Nuggets are in third. As of right now, they'd still play each other. Nothing really was achieved by beating the Clippers. You still have the Lakers. Bring them on, man. I am tired of LeBron James. Everybody's tired of this guy. I kind of agree that the play-in format screws over teams, but you got to, if you're going to complain about the rules of a game, you can't, new rule, you can't complain about the rules of the game 90% of the way through the game. You have to complain at the beginning of the game. You know, you can't say, well, that's not fair. You know, if you're playing Madden and you pick the Buccaneers and I get stuck with the Raiders or something, somebody, a bad team. And then I'm like, no, screw it. I got you, Colfax. I'll be the Raiders. I'll beat you. Halfway through, you're beating me 21-3. I can't suddenly say, well, yeah, but dude, you got the Buccaneers. So, I mean, obviously. No, I can't complain halfway through. Get out of here.
Especially when it affects you directly.
Yes. They're going to drop to that. They're probably going to drop. Yeah. Now, LeBron is back. Oh. Anthony Davis is back. And they play tonight against the Nuggets. Do you bet on the Nuggets, though? Because no, they're going to try to win this game. Because even if they lose, the way it works out, we're going to break into this. Western Conference-ology coming up a little bit later. Eastside Chris, today's Hooligan headline. Broncos certainly send message to the Chiefs. I love that. That's great, man. I'm a sucker for a good pun. That's great. Still planning brunch lunch gala tomorrow, wondering about the weather. Will Colfax go to the roof? I feel the Broncos did okay. B+. Fit a gold jacket for Williams. Now it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
Is it going to still be raining?
I think so. Damn. I don't know. My weather app says that, but it's right about half the time.
Wow. You know, I don't know what to tell you guys.
The station doesn't want you on the roof, man. Maybe that's a sign.
I think it's a sign from above.
Don't go up there, man. There's dangerous stuff happening. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Warren Jackson wasn't drafted in the draft. Power to Play Sports poll question. Are you shocked by that? The Broncos pick him up, but it's neat personally because I love Warren Jackson and I love the Broncos, but is it bad for him ultimately? Because where's he going to get the time? Where's he going to get the reps? You know, you got Courtland Sutton coming back, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick. Where are the reps coming from? 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado One will join us. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-four after the hour, it's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. A couple of former Rams joining forces with the Denver Broncos. First and foremost, let's get to Warren Jackson. We'll talk about him. A little shock factor, perhaps, that he didn't get drafted. We're talking to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, that's our poll question today. Were you shocked that Warren Jackson didn't get drafted and instead signs as a free agent with the Broncos?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure shocked would be as far as I went, but definitely a little surprised. I mean, I guess guesstimates ranges on where he could be drafted before were all over the map, you know, from like fourth-ish round all the way to undrafted, which is what happened. You know, I was surprised just because obviously, you know, I guess a little bit of locality bias. If I've seen him, I know what he can do. But, you know, scouts are supposed to figure that out as well. It's interesting. I mean, if I'm an NFL GM, which clearly I am not because I'm on the radio and not getting paid a ton of money.
Yeah, you wouldn't even agree to make that decision. You wouldn't even agree to do this show if you were a GM, Kevin. So, man, we kind of appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd come and lie to you a lot, do a lot of smoke screening, make up some stuff. But you know, it's interesting to me, that guy that, you know, 6'6", who obviously had success not only in the Mountain West, but when CSU would play big, you know, Power 5 teams, obviously Alabama, Arkansas. He had success, so it's surprising to me that no one took a flyer on him because it seems like that could be a useful red zone piece. But on the other hand, I mean, his pro day wasn't very good as far as speed, and that was the big question on him, if he could be fast enough. So surprised, not shocked, I guess, is the short answer after my long answer.
Where do you have this off the top of your head? Michael Gallup, he was drafted in the third round, right?
Yep, he was third round. Rashard Higgins was, I believe, fifth. Yeah, I mean, and obviously those are different type of players. But yeah, it, when you kind of put his name up with those guys, it's like, well, it seems like he should be in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where, and maybe unfairly, or maybe the fact that this is, you know, or at least it was wide receiver U, that, because, you know, we asked a lot, like, who's gonna do better ultimately when it's all said and done in their careers? And I did kind of throw Warren Jackson up into that mix, but you know, now it's going to be a tough road to hoe, to be honest with you, because the Broncos, that's one of their deepest positions, if not the deepest position, maybe outside cornerback now because of the first round of the draft. But this is going to be a tough spot for Warren Jackson. I'm glad locally to see him go to the Broncos, but I mean, how many reps is he going to get?
Yeah, it is going to be tough because, like you mentioned, it's a pretty deep position. And he's not the only rookie receiver coming in either, so that's going to be tough. I think the positives for him is during part of, you know, 2020, after he opted out, he was working out with trainers from the Landau facility. Obviously, Lauren Landau now works for the Broncos, so you have you know, it's not hard to imagine there are some conversations between those groups saying, well, you know, this kid from CSU, you know, he puts in the work. You know, we think he has some good ability, so maybe take a chance on him, and now obviously that word can filter upwards. But the flip side is, as long as you're in camp, you know, he may not make the Broncos roster, but if you go make some plays in preseason, someone will see you. So that's the most important thing, is get into a camp. whether you end up making that team or a different team, get into camp, get some, you know, tape. And, you know, these coaches all, you know, talk to each other. And so if Warren has a good camp but the Broncos don't have room, you know, someone in that organization might call up their buddy, you know, somewhere else in the NFL and say, hey, we got a guy that we don't have room for, but you might want to take a look.
Yeah, and that's kind of where my brain was going. I mean, I'd want to see Warren Jackson succeed and be a guy with the Broncos long term. But you're right. It probably feels more like this is an opportunity just to showcase a little bit and then maybe get on another team's radar.
Yeah, I think that feels most likely to me. But the flip side is the Broncos obviously have a long history of undrafted free agents succeeding, and that's kind of a thing they take a lot of pride in. So obviously they're a franchise that will give, you know, if you show that you're good enough, they'll give you that chance. So I think that's the biggest positive for him, is it's a franchise that really does appreciate undrafted free agents.
Talk to us about on the fullback side of things. I thought this one, former CSU fullback Adam Prentice is signing up with the Broncos as well. Talk to us about that move.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, Adam Prentice, obviously fullback in modern NFL is just a position that kind of doesn't exist that much. You know, not many teams use a fullback, but Prentice is a guy, he could do a lot of things. You know, he'd be, you know, a willing special teams player. And I have always wondered if he maybe could find a spot, you know, as basically a blocking tight end, you know, which is kind of what, you know, fullbacks kind of get moved to these days, is you're more a blocking tight end than anything. And so he's a guy that maybe could do that. You know, I don't know if he's actually going to make the roster. But, again, another guy that at minimum is going to come in, work really hard, you know, put his head down, not get in trouble, all those type of things. So, you know, a good guy to have in the locker room, you know, working in the, you know, toward the season. And we'll see what happens. But it's kind of cool that him and Warren Jackson end up back on a team together.
Yeah, no, it kind of reunited. They're kind of flipping back to Warren on this one, Kevin. We had a texter a few moments ago, as you know, asking the obvious question, I suppose. Did not playing last year really affect his draft stock? What, we've only had four games, so he would have had to pack a punch.
Yeah, so that's it's an interesting conversation I've had with a few people this weekend. In a way, yes. I mean, you know, you're someone that kind of needs to be on the radar, and not playing takes you off it. But like you say, CSU only played four games, and let's be very frank, CSU was not a good passing offense. So how much of an impact would he have had in those four games? You know, who knows? You know, who knows how the offense maybe would have changed, you know, if he had been there and been available. But still, you know, four games, you know, so in a way, yes, if he had, you know, made some big plays, I think it certainly wouldn't have hurt. But on the flip side, if he played those four games and kind of did nothing, that certainly wouldn't have helped. So in a way, yes, I do think it did hurt that he was basically just completely off the radar of NFL teams. But I also, you know, don't think, you know, he was a third-round pick who all of a sudden fell out of the draft just because he didn't play.
It's interesting, too. You wonder if a guy like Jackson looked at Steve Addazio and his pedigree and said, I'm not going to get enough looks, and scouts, and nationally, they're just going to look at the box scores, some of those scouts that aren't watching these games, and they're going to see that I'm not there. So you got to wonder, and again, that's not saying he wouldn't have put together some good games, but you got to wonder if maybe he looked at that personally, was like, yeah, I don't see me improving my stock at all, so might as well stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at, you know, a little bit like that, and obviously going into the year, we knew CSU was going to have a quarterback controversy or whatever you want to call it. And so you could easily, as a receiver, you know, that's trying to get in the NFL, look at that and say, you know, I'm not sure. And really what the reality of what happened that fully pushed him over, you know, the edge, so to speak, of opting out was when the Mountain West postponed the season, him and his family right then basically decided, well, you know, can't play a spring season because of the draft. Don't want to sit around waiting and wondering to see if the Mountain West will come back, because, you know, at that time there was no indication that they were going to play in the fall. So said, well, don't want to wait several months, you know, waiting to see what happens. It's time to go to work, you know, basically start doing all the pre-NFL workouts. So when the Mountain West said they weren't going to play, I think it was a very understandable decision to say, well, it's time to move on, start putting in work toward the NFL.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, another, well, this has got to be one of the what could have been players for Colorado State. Colin Hill just couldn't stay healthy. And of course, ultimately moved to South Carolina where Coach Bobo was there. He signed with the Bengals.
Yeah, Colin, I mean, you nailed it right there. Of everyone I've covered, you know, even high school, you know, college, anything, Colin Hill might be the most what-if talked about player I've ever been around. And you still hear people around CSU or that were around CSU when he was here kind of just shake their head, Matt, and say, you know, where would the program be if Colin Hill had stayed healthy? And, you know, that maybe that sounds too big to say, you know, really, that guy changed the program. And in a way, I think, yes. I mean, I think he is that good. I remember a little side story here. After Collins, I believe it was his last ACL tear. Yeah, it was after the one he did at Arkansas in what ended up being his last year at CSU. A few weeks later, CSU was playing Utah State, and that was Jordan Love, who obviously ended up kind of being a dramatic part of that draft when he got picked by the Packers. So CSU was playing Utah State. There are tons of scouts there to see Jordan Love. And CSU coaches were frustrated. Not really that scouts were there to see Jordan Love, but they were trying to tell the scouts, like, our guy, the guy that's hurt, Colin, if he were healthy, he'd be the one you're watching. Like, he's the guy that has all those tools. And that's how highly they thought of him. I mean, they were sure he would be or could have been a high-level NFL player if he had stayed healthy. And so, yeah, he's one of those. I mean, and he showed those flashes, but just you feel so bad for the kid, and it's cool that he gets a chance to see if he can do in the NFL. I have no idea. Three ACL tears, but then coming back to play SEC football is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, it really was, and he had some moments there for sure, but man, when you watched him, I go back to that, was that CU game last time, it 2 years ago? He looked so good. Now, the Rams end up losing that game, but they're in that first half. I thought, my goodness, this guy's going to go on a tear. Ends up getting hurt a few games later. And one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So much ability. And, yeah, Kevin, where does he rank? And one of those players where you just go, man, if he would have stayed healthy, who knows? Bobo might still be here if you think about it in that weird way. Bobo might still be the head coach if Colin Hill stays healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, he pretty much fully hitched his wagon to Colin Hill. You know, honestly, to a point that in part got him fired. I mean, CSU never really recruited quarterbacks after Colin Hill. That's why they had to keep going the transfer route when he got hurt. You know, he got hurt and they had to rush in KJ Carr-Samuels in sort of a forced marriage. Then, you know, he is hurt again and in comes Patrick O'Brien and starts. And, you know, really, they were totally tied together. And obviously there were lots of other issues, but the fact that Colin was unfortunately unable to play fully definitely played a role in Bobo being fired.
Yeah, I think, I mean, who knows, maybe you have a positive year, and then there's not that crazy pressure at the end of the season, and you're doing all right. A lot of things could have changed, I suppose. Kevin, what are you working on for us, man, that we could check out at the Colorado in the next couple of days?
Well, as you can tell by the rain and the cold, it's spring high school sports season.
That's so, when you know it's here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's been, you know, 2 years basically since Colorado high school spring sports have played. So I'm excited to go see some of those kids that, you know, we haven't seen compete at the high school level in that long. So it's crazy to think of how long it's been, but here we are.
Yeah, well, Kevin, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and the work you do. And we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Warren Jackson, you know, it's a guy I thought, maybe is up there in that same, could be up there in that same level as Michael Gallup and Rashard Higgins. Gallup, obviously, is he's a top receiver in the league. I don't know if you want to say, he's not like elite. Top five, no, he's not there, but he's a top receiver. They've just got a lot of weapons there in Dallas, but he's going to be hard to overpass. That's going to be a tough road to hoe for Warren Jackson if he stays with the Broncos. Clearly, they saw something that they liked, but, you know, maybe it's an insurance policy here because, you know, guys get hurt. But look at it. I mean, it's Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. You have guys that got last year in Tyree Cleveland. Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton, guys that we saw make some impact plays. So it is a loaded wide receiver class. You got a clear number one in Courtland Sutton. You have a Jerry Jeudy who could be that, you know, obvious number two and could be a one anywhere else. Maybe has the speed like a Tyreek Hill. He's got to get, obviously his hands got to get better. KJ Hamler, I think I was certainly pleasantly surprised by him. They did draft a wide receiver in round six too, where we thought Warren Jackson might go. They drafted Seth Williams, wide receiver out of Auburn. So, I mean, this isn't going to get any easier for Warren Jackson. I'm shocked that that was the best option for him was Denver, where they're just flat out stacked. I'm really rooting for the guy, but who does he climb up over on the depth chart? 38 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, let's see. Let's talk about LeBron James's comments and the NBA play-in format and how this will how his comments will impact the NBA because he is the king after all. We'll talk about it, but first let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Happy Life Gardens. Man, it's coming down out there. It's been raining. I don't know. Maybe going to do that tomorrow. Might keep Colfax off the roof again. We don't know. We got safety first here. At the whole show, everybody knows it's all about safety first. But I'm telling you, with all this rain, you know, it's gonna bring the grass up. It's gonna bring the plants up. What else is gonna bring up, Colfax? The weeds, man.
Oh yeah, okay.
The weeds. It wasn't a trick question. Happy
mud? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you got to get the right fertilizer that's going to make that grass pop, keep it popping, because July, when it's July and it's hotter than hell and you're watering still, you still need that boost that you get now. Happy Life Gardens will educate you on the right kind of fertilizer, when to do it, how long to wait until after this rain to put everything on. Get over to Happy Life Gardens. You're tired of looking at everybody's yard, seeing it. Oh, wow, it's popping. That's green. Your yard looks like it has a smoking problem. It doesn't look good. Talk to Happy Life Gardens. They'll help you out. 970-330-9530. They're in Evans. 45 minutes after the hour. I go back and forth about this whole play-in game. I mean, I'm going to watch it. And again, some of you guys are confused about how it works. Now, it's not a single elimination all the way through. This is how it works. Portland is seventh. They would play San Antonio. If Portland wins, they're in. If San Antonio wins, Portland moves down and has to play another. They get a chance to play again. San Antonio would earn that spot. The luxury of being 7-8, Portland and Memphis in this case, is you have to lose twice. But Golden State and San Antonio, they lose once, they're out. So, again, if Portland's playing San Antonio, if Portland loses, Spurs are now seventh. They're in. Portland will get a shot to play the loser of the Memphis Golden State, if that's how it works out. I believe, now that I'm saying it out loud, does that seem correct?
Sounds correct.
It sounds like what Mr. Dempsey told us, right? So that's where I'm going with it. But it's not necessarily a single elimination. Portland and Memphis, I believe, get shots as to where they get to go. I think that's how it works. Is Portland play San Antonio or does Portland play Memphis? And does Golden State play San Antonio? I think it's 7 versus 10 and then it's 8 versus 9, but 7-8 don't have to. This is why it's kind of silly. I believe Portland and Memphis, though, being in their position, they have to lose twice. And so it does get interesting. LeBron James coming out saying whoever designed this needs to be fired. It's a unique thing. Am I wrong on this, Colfax?
I don't know what you're looking. I'm looking. Lakers are in seventh on what I'm looking at.
Are you? What are you on right now?
This is Google.
I'm
NBA
on,
standings.
Okay.
I wonder if it's coming down to like
the tiebreaker. Oh, they probably factor in the tie. So I'm on ESPN right now, and the tiebreaker must go to Portland because you're right. Portland is the same record as LA, so Portland would be then. So the Lakers are in that spot.
They're
right
in the spot.
So Denver, you could keep them in that spot.
Yeah.
Keep them down. Is that how it would work then? Would it be the Lakers playing San Antonio then if it were to end today?
And then if they win, they're in the playoffs.
The Lakers win, they're in.
Okay. Spurs are out.
If the Spurs win, are they in or do they have to win twice? I think they might have
to win twice.
I think that's where I'm screwed up because there's going to have to be more than those two games. Is it LA, Memphis, Golden State, and San Antonio? Or is it, what do you have? Yours seems right because they're factoring.
LA, Grizzlies, Warriors, Spurs.
Okay. So the only one that they have off on ESPN is Portland and LA. So LA, Portland would be in. They'd play Denver first round based on today. LA would play San Antonio. And if LA wins, they're in. If the Spurs win, they then have to play the winner, I believe, of
the Grizzly Warriors.
I think.
That makes sense. And then would the Lakers play the loser?
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Or no, because they would be in.
I don't know. I'm going to look it back up because I forgot. We had this all ironed out. And now maybe this is why it's silly.
I'm with LeBron on this one. Fire that guy.
I actually am too because of the simple fact that this is our conversation right now.
Yeah.
Like this is how it should be. No, because it would be stupid if it goes this way. If you go Portland, LA, I mean, Lakers beat San Antonio. Lakers are in. San Antonio's out. But if Golden State beats Memphis, should they then be in? Is it just single elimination? Oh, my goodness. This is complex. All right, we're going to talk more about this. Also give you my game of the week coming up. It's going to be another doozy. I'm looking forward to it. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'll clarify the NBA play-in rules, and we'll make everybody happy there. It's confusing, and maybe that's why LeBron James is right. Did he have to come out and say it that way, though? No, probably not. We'll be right back.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hall Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
I mean, I will say it does make this last eight games pretty damn interesting. Yeah, Weld County Swami pointed out you got the Mavericks, Lakers, and the Trailblazers all tied with 36 wins and 28 losses. Your standings show Portland with the tiebreaker. Portland has 18 wins in the conference. The Lakers have 21 wins in the conference, so the Lakers would have the tiebreaker, but I don't know the head-to-head. That's the first thing they go by, right. And I don't have that up right now. So according to ESPN, the Lakers have it. But according to what you're looking at, the Trailblazers have it. Okay, so we have it figured out, Colfax. I don't know where I was going with this.
Well, because we were thinking it was like the regular playoff structure.
Right. One seed plays the eight seed normally.
Right.
Two seed plays the seven seed. But it's not that way in the play-in. So 7 and 8, all you got to do is win one game and you're in. So 7 and 8, in this case, Lakers and Grizzlies. Lakers win, they're in. They lock in 7. Memphis would play the winner between the 9 and 10. Golden State and San Antonio. If whoever loses that game is out. So let's just say Golden State beats San Antonio. It would be Golden State and Memphis battling for the 8th seed. And the winner moves on. So that's it. So if you're the Lakers, Memphis, if you're in that spot, you just got to win one of two. You get two shots. If you're Golden State or San Antonio, you get one shot.
You have to win two games.
You got to win two games.
Yep.
Yeah, so you got to win two. breaking it out like this. I went and looked at the diagram, dude. The way they set it up is just, there's arrows like, hey, if you went here, then you will move down here to this lower level, and then you will advance from the lower level to the middle level. And at that point, you've reached the halfway point of the play-in tournament. Congratulations. Yeah. It's like a scroll. Don't like it, though. You're with LeBron?
Yeah, I'm with LeBron on this one. For once.
I don't like gimmicks. I don't like gimmicks. Will I be watching with intrigue? Yes. Because it's knocking a team out of playoffs.
I mean, how great would it be if the Lakers got knocked out?
It would be the best thing in the freaking world. But then it would suck because it'd probably be Golden State to do it. And then Steph Curry saved the NBA. Who's more, like, Curry's a better dude. Like,
fact.
That I don't get annoyed when he talks. Just chewing on that mouthpiece that he chews on all the time. But whatever, I've gotten over it. Who do you want to hear less of? Steph Curry or LeBron James? There's a good poll question. No, it's no doubt it's going to be LeBron James. He brings it on himself. Curry can't help but that he's just fantastic and really fun to watch. And he's like, he's got the baby face. He's look really likable. It all works for him. But I mean, I read this article today and ESPN is like, Steph Curry saved the season with all these superstars going down like LeBron and Joel Embiid and James Harden. Steph Curry was that shining light. He was down too, but nothing about the Joker. Nothing about a guy that's a good dude and can throw up 30 on the road against the Clippers in a win that they were dogs in with no Jamal Murray, no Will Barton, no Monte Morris, nothing. And they ask Joker about the MVP, and what does he do? What does he say? Nice things, great things about his team. It'd be an honor to win it for sure, but it's it's about my team. They make me who I am. I make them who they are. We make each other. It's like it's this great thing, but yet we don't want to cheer for that guy nationally. I mean, if you guys were watching the broadcast Saturday, didn't you just get the sense that it was on ESPN that like Richard Jefferson it almost pained him to say good things about the Joker, a guy that dominated in that game. It floors me. It really does. And by the way, does Michael Porter Jr. remind you of Kevin Durant? His ability? Is he going to be the next Kevin Durant, if not better? Interesting. I'll get to my game of the week on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I hope that's all clear as mud for you now. We'll get it figured out. We'll be right back.